Today's first lesson is from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, starting with verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, says the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Know that all lives are mine. The life of the parent, as well as the life of the child, is mine. It is only the person who sins that shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is unfair. Hear now, O house of Israel. Is my way unfair? Is it not your ways that are unfair? When the righteous turn away from their righteousness and commit iniquity, they shall die for it. For the iniquity that they have committed, they shall die. Again, when the wicked turn away from the wickedness they have committed and do what is lawful and right, they shall save their life. Because they considered and turned away from all their transgressions that they had committed, they shall surely live. They shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is unfair. O house of Israel, are my ways unfair? Is it not your ways that are unfair? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, all of you according to your ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, otherwise iniquity will be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed against me, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord God. Turn then and live. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, starting with verse 1. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him, and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man has two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, 'I go, sir,' but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" And they said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus had disrupted the temple completely, just sort of knocked the whole thing down. See, the day before our gospel story, Jesus had drove out the people who were selling and buying animals for sacrifice in the temple, overturned all of the tables for the people who were exchanging Roman money for temple money. All of the normal everyday operations of the temple were disrupted and stopped. And then Jesus just kept wandering around the temple, curing the blind and the lame. Anyone coming to him was cared for and was helped. And so the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the leaders of the people, they all watched as the disruption of everything that happened at the temple was going on. They watched as all of the healings took place. And then they watched as Jesus left the temple and went back to Bethany. So the next day, the day of our gospel story, Jesus again returns to Jerusalem, returns to the temple. And as he enters and begins teaching, a group of those chief priests and elders rush up to Jesus. They interrupt him while he's teaching, and they ask, maybe even they demand, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you that authority? They wanted to know, because as far as they were concerned, they believed that they were the ones who were in authority in the temple. And they didn't give Jesus any authorization to do any of the things that he had been doing. Now, on the one hand, I think they really did want to know the source of Jesus' authority. But on the other hand, I think they just wanted to embarrass Jesus into stopping. Now, they didn't think that Jesus was going to pull out a membership card or a badge or a permit and say, here, this is why I'm doing this. Jesus wasn't part of the temple cleanliness patrol, nor did he sit on the board of directors for the Let's Give Sight to the Blind Foundation. These leaders of the people, they wanted Jesus. And if not Jesus, they definitely wanted the people listening to him to realize that he had no authority whatsoever. They wanted them all to realize that they were the power, they were the authority in the temple, and that Jesus had none of it. Now, we all know people like that. And sometimes we can even behave like people like that. You know, someone comes in and disrupts something that we believe is running smoothly and it is very important, and they come and they disrupt it and our hackles get all raised. We start looking for ways to stop them. The chief priests and all of those others, they had the authority of power. They had the temple police behind them if they needed it. They had the authority of place. This is where they belonged. They had the titles and the credentials. They had the degrees. They may have even had the badges. Jesus has the authority of service, the authority of love. See, Jesus is not going to tell these people from where his authority comes, because every single day in his ministry, Jesus has been showing from where his authority comes. It's not power, as the world around us recognizes power. Jesus' authority is not from election or birth or breeding. It's not from strength of arms, and it's not from having a whole pile of wild followers. Jesus' authority comes from the power of God's love lived for the sake of the people around him. That is his authority. The authority of one who sees a need and cares enough to meet that need as he is able. When the sick or the lame are brought to him, Jesus heals. When the possessed are brought, Jesus helps. When the crowds are hungry, whether for knowledge or food, Jesus teaches and feeds. His authority doesn't come from a badge or a card. It's not from credentials or permits. Jesus' authority comes as he lives the love of God for the sake of the people around him. Now, in Philippians, Paul celebrates this authority of service by quoting a hymn that reveled in the truth that Jesus emptied himself, becoming a human like us so that we might be helped, saved, and forgiven. Paul reminds us in this reading today that Jesus is God. He is divine, but did not think that divinity was something that should be exploited or used for power. Rather, Jesus emptied himself and became our servant. He set aside all of that godness so that we might have a Savior. And in his kenosis, that's the Greek word for emptying, K-E-N-O-S-I-S, but since it's a foreign word, you can't use it in Scrabble, sorry. But in that kenosis, Jesus took up the authority of service, the authority of love. And now Paul is celebrating this truth as he encourages the Philippians and as he encourages us as well to let the same mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul is encouraging us to see that Jesus' call to follow him includes emptying ourselves of our selfishness, our self-centeredness, our self-indulgence, and instead to live for the sake of neighbors and strangers, of family and friends, even of enemies and those who make us uncomfortable. We are not encouraged by Paul to find a membership card or grab a badge. We are not called to reach for worldly power and authority, but instead to live the same love, being in full accord and of one mind, doing nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, living as Jesus shows us all how to live every day. In this way, our lives become markers pointing the way to Christ so that every tongue may confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is what Jesus is working towards even as he talks with those chief priests and scribes and elders of the people. He is hoping that they will see the authority of service, even though they seem reluctant to do just that. For them, it is power and strength. And for Jesus, it is care. What Jesus is asking is he is asking them to believe in him, to have faith in him. And that is something that they are definitely not wanting to do. Then the parable that Jesus tells them, the parable about two sons and their response to their father. It's more about caring than it is about doing. Jesus wants them to see that the first son says no. The father asked him to go out and work in the vineyard. He said, nope, not going to do it. But later he thought about it. He knew that his dad needed the help. He cared about his dad. He cared about the vineyard. And so he goes and he helps. Now the second son says, yes, of course, I'm on my way. When dad asks him, he's ready to go. But then life shows up with a better offer. And he figures that dad can take care of himself. I know that personally I have been guilty of both of those attitudes, both of those responses. I know that that first son's answer of no is hurtful. It stings. I also know that the second son's yes swells your heart with pride, but you also know that that first son's help, that eventually help, that's a blessing. His care is cherished by his father. And I also know that the second son's ignoring that change from enthusiasm to nonchalance, that's brutal. Jesus is teaching about caring. He says, even when we have been hurtful to begin with, the caring is important. It's never too late to care. Jesus is trying to help the leaders to see that they're actually more like that second son. Jesus is trying to teach me to see that I'm often the second son. We jump up, we say yes to God, and then we find something else to do. We give lip service to caring. And then we find something that's more important, or if not that, then at least more fun to spend our time with. But for Jesus, it's never too late to empty yourself and care. Jesus wants us all to discover that authority of caring, the authority of love. We may not be able to solve a problem completely, but when we care, when we help as we are able, then we're living the love that God gives to each of us. We may never be the ones that the world looks to for power and might, but we can always be the ones who look at the world with warmth and care. Today, very shortly, we are going to be blessing these quilts. And I think that these quilts make a terrific metaphor for the authority that Jesus is calling us to. These quilts begin in pieces, sometimes scrap pieces, but they are fit together with skill and with love. They are tied together with care and compassion. And then they are sent off to provide warmth and comfort to someone who we will never know. Someone who will never know from where it came. These quilts are an amazing gift of love. Our lives can be the same. As we live our lives in pieces of the world around us, in pieces that sometimes feel like scrap, but we fit our abilities, our gifts from God, all of the things that we have, we fit them with the needs that we find around us. We tie it all together with compassion and care so that our life can be an amazing gift of love to the world around us. Now, by what authority do we do these things? Have we asked permission, gotten a permit, or spoken to the person who's in charge? The authority that Jesus commends to us is care. The authority that Jesus lives for us as an example, is to empty himself of the selfish bits so that we can be lifted and filled with love, so that we can share forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation with all of the people that we meet. That is the authority that we get to live. So let's start living it. Amen. Our Lord God has blessed us all with so many gifts. And for some of us, those gifts include a good eye for color, the ability to make fine stitches, the skills to develop new and ever more exciting patterns. And so now, we offer the fruits of the labor of many women in our congregation, the quilts that they have made, to God's use and to God's purpose. We dedicate these quilts to God's service, trusting that Christ's love will go wherever each item is sent, making it more than just a piece of material, making each piece we have created an expression of love. There is no way for us to imagine the power and effect an act of love can have on a person's life. How God can use something as small as a quilt to radiate God's love from us to the world. May these quilts be used in Christ's service and become blessing for all those who receive them. Now let us pray in thanks and blessing. Jesus, you teach us to love our neighbors. We give you thanks for those who have generously shared their resources in order to make these quilts possible. Move us by their example to live generous lives. Thank you, God, for the hands that made and assembled these quilts. May each compassionate touch be known to those who receive them as an expression of your love. Jesus, you teach us to love our neighbors. We lift before you the staff and the partners of Lutheran World Relief who will distribute these quilts around the world. Give them strength and encouragement to do this important work and guide them as they reach our neighbors who are the farthest away. And finally, God, we pray for our neighbors around the world who will receive these quilts, neighbors we have never met, neighbors who are far away, neighbors who, like us, long for your grace and mercy. May these quilts wrap our neighbors in love and fill them with the hope and peace that is only found in you. Lord, we know that all we possess comes from your loving hand. Give us grace to honor you with all of our being. Draw our hearts to you, guide our minds, fill our imaginations, control our wills, so that we may be wholly yours. Use us as you will, always to your glory and to the welfare of your people. Amen. Will the congregation please rise as we join together in the prayers of the people. Drawn together in the compassion of God, we pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. In all the world, give your church unity. Inspire all the baptized with the mind of Christ, where the church is powerful and where it struggles. Shape us with humility and obedience so that your love may be at work in us. Lord, in your mercy, your Son took on all of bodily life in our world, even to death. Preserve and keep your creation, O God. Mend and redeem places that are polluted and damaged so that all of creation confesses you as Lord. Lord, in your mercy, turn the nations towards life. Where our ways are unfair, give us new hearts and new spirits. Where sin permeates our cultures and institutions, change our minds and teach us to trust your authority. Lord, in your mercy, Our lives are yours, O God. Relieve the suffering of those who are ill in body, mind, or spirit. Defend the lives and welfare of children who are abused or neglected, hungry or exploited, bullied or lonely. Lord, in your mercy, turn this congregation away from our own interests towards the interests of others. Fill us with your compassion and sympathy. Bless ministries of care in our community. Make us into signs of your mercy and justice for our neighbors. Today, O Lord, we pray for Earl Vance and for the family and friends of Tim Wick in their grief. Lord, in your mercy, thank you for those who have gone into the kingdom ahead of us, tax collectors and prostitutes, likely and unlikely, obedient and slow to learn. By their witness, teach us to confess Jesus Christ as Lord in life and in death. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you see we need, we entrust to your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Once again, if you have already dropped off your donations, thank you very much. If you have yet to do so, you can, on your way out or even right now, remember there is the little basket behind to help defray the costs of shipping the quilts. But as we ponder all of these things, as we give thanks to God for His grace and His goodness, we sing with Wired in Christ, and I'll get the table ready. You may be seated. Please rise. As we join together in our offering prayer, you find printed in your bulletin. God of goodness and growth, all creation is yours, and your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. Water and word, wine and bread, these are signs of your abundant grace. Nourish us through these gifts that we might proclaim your steadfast love in our communities and in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our strength and our song. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord. In Him you have received us as your children, made us citizens of your kingdom, and given us your Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. Blessed are you, O Lord, God of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as He comes to us in His Holy Supper. Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus.
In the night in which He was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He blessed it, broke it, and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, He took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, in His living and His serving, in His dying and rising, showed us all His authority of care, so that we might know the love of God in our lives. In the spirit of that same love, I bid you now, come to His table of grace.
He became sin who knew no sin, we might become His righteousness. He humbled Himself. So amazing, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, the wine broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled, the veil was torn. Love so amazing, love so amazing, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. All love is in you. All love is in you. All the glory to you, God, light of the world, Jesus Messiah.
Please rise. As the body and blood of our Lord Jesus fills us with strength, we are also sent in love and service. And so together we pray, God of the welcome table, in this meal we have feasted on your goodness and have been united by your presence among us. Empower us to go forth sustained by these gifts so that we may share your neighborly love with all through Jesus Christ, the giver of abundant life. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Stay warm, stay dry, stay safe as we go in peace and serve the Lord.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.